ஜெயம் விஷுபாத பரமஹம்ச பரிபிராஜகாச்சாரியம் அஷ்டோத்தரசத ஸ்ரீ ஸ்ரீமான் அபய சரணாரவிந்த பக்தி வேதாந்த கோஸ்வாமி மகாராஜ் ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாதிக்கு ஜெயம். நித்திலீலா பிரவிஷ்ட விஷ்ணுபாத பரமஹம்ச பரிபிராஜகாச்சாரிய அஷ்டோத்தரசத ஸ்ரீ ஸ்ரீமான் பக்தி சித்தாந்த சரஸ்வதி மகாராஜ் ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாதிக்கு அந்த கோடி வைஷ்ணவ பிருந்தக்கு நாமாச்சாரிய ஸ்ரீல ஹரிதாஸ் டாக்கூர்க்கு பிரேம் சகோ ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்யம் பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதார ஸ்ரீவாசாதி கௌரபக்த பிருந்தக்கு ஸ்ரீ ஸ்ரீ ராதா கிருஷ்ண கோப கோபிநாத ஷியாமகுண்ட ராதாகுண்ட கிரி கோவர்தனக்கு விருந்தாவன் தாம்கி மாயப்பூர் தாம்கி மதுரபுரி தாம்கி ஜெகநாத்புரி தாம்கி துவாரகாபுரி தாம்கி கங்கமாய்க்கு யமுனமாய்க்கு துளசி தேவிக்கு பக்தி தேவிக்கு சாமவேத பக்த பிருந்தக்கு கௌர் பிரேமானந்தே. ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் டு அசம்பிள் டிவோட்டீஸ், all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshakarine. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் பார்த்தாய பிரதிபோதிதாம் பகவதாம் நாராயணேன ஸ்வயம் வியாசேன க்ரதிதாம் புராண முனினாம் மத்யே மகாபாரதம் அத்வைதாமிருதவர்ஷிணீ பகவதி அஷ்டாதசாத்யாயினி அம்ப த்வாமனுசந்ததாமி பகவத்கீதே பவத்வேஷிணி நமோஸ்து தே வியாச விஷால புத்தே புல்லாரவிந்தாயத பத்ர நேத்ரம் யேன த்வயா பாரத தைல பூர்ண பிரஜ்வாலிதோ ஜானமய பிரதீப பிரபன்ன பாரிஜாதாய தோத்ரவே த்ரைகவாணயே ஞானமுத்ராய கிருஷ்ணாய கீதாமிருத துஹே நம. சர்வோபனிஷதோ காவோ துக்தா கோபால நந்தன பார்த்தோ வல்ஸ சுதீர் போக்தா துக்தம் கீதாமிருதம் மகத் வசுதேவ சுதம் தேவம் கம்சச்சானூரமர்தனம் தேவகீ பரமானந்தம் கிருஷ்ணம் வந்தே ஜகத்குரும் பீஷ்மத்ரோணததாஜயத்ரதஜல காந்தார நீலோல்பல சல்யக்ராஹவதி கிருபேண வஹனி கர்ணேன வேலாகுல அஸ்வத்தாமா விகர்ணமோதமகர யோதனாவர்த்தினி சோத்தீர்ண கலு பாண்டவைரண நதி கைவர்த்தக கேசவ பாராசரியவஜசரோஜமலம் கீதார்த்தகந்தோல்கடம் நானாக்கியானக கேசரம் ஹரிகதா சம்போதனாபோதிதம் லோகை சஜ்ஜன சல்பதைரஹர பேபீயமானம் முதாம் பூயாத் பாரத பங்கஜ கலிமல பிரத்வம்சின ஸ்ரேயசே மூகம் கரோதி வாசாலம் பங்கும் லங்கைலேஹிரிம் யல்கிருபாதமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம் யம் பிரம்மா வருணேந்திர ருத்ரமருத ஸ்வன்வந்தி திவ்யைஸ்தவைர் வேதை சங்கபதை க்ரமோபனிஷதேர் காயந்தியம் சமகாஹம் தியானாவஸ்தித தத்கதேன மனசா பஷ்யந்தியம் யோகினோ யஸ்யாந்தம் ந விதுசுராசுரகணை தேவாய தஸ்மை நம. சர்வத்ர கோவிந்த நாம சங்கீர்த்தனம் கோவிந்த கோவிந்தம். All human beings have got two aspects to every one of us, right? One is our swarupam, our real being, what we are, our actual identity, and the other is our subhava, the prakriti. That's our nature. So one is the primary thing, which is our swarupam, That's the primary thing. Consciousness. That's what we are. And the secondary thing is the subtle body and the gross body, where the Svabhavam is there. Subtle body and gross body is not our identity. Antaryami is our identity. So, Antaryami or consciousness or Atma is what we are. That's what actually our Swarupam is. Subtle body, gross body, all these things are a product of Prakriti. And therefore it is Svabhavam. Swarupam belongs to Krishna. Svabhavam belongs to Prakriti. This is the basic principle. Right. So, the second part, which is the Svabhavam, which includes our gross body, of course, and then the mind, intelligence, ahankaram, ego, and the vasanas, all of them combined together, and which is our personality, or ahankaram. This is all a part of that. Ahankaram is the center point of that. Everything else is centered around that. So, jiva is addressed that part. Jiva is that thing. Ahankaram is the center. Body, mind, intelligence, vasanas, gross body, that's all centered around this ahankaram. And that thing is called svabhav. That is actually svabhav. Right? So, the our antaryami, which is our actual identity, around them, this castle exists of subtle body, gross body, everything together. Right? So, what happens is that either through association with others or through involvement in any activity, we are adding to this castle which is centered around the ahankaram. That's where all the activities are happening. Ahankaram is the center, and subtle body, gross body, vasanas, they're all sent in that, around that. And our involvement with this world and our so-called association with others, we are adding on to this castle, which is built around. Sometimes the old, in the castle, the old bricks gets new ones. Right? So, this Prakriti, what is our nature? Prakriti, what is our nature? Requires replacement constantly. And that is where this change happens from demonic nature to divine nature. The Prakriti, the nature, divine nature and demonic nature is all in the Prakriti only. It's not in the Antaryami. Antaryami is pure, transcendental to everything, unaffected by that. But we have some vasanas which are in us, sometimes divine, sometimes demoniac. Both exist within us, right? So, it is these vasanas and the, the bricks that you use to build this subtle body and the gross body, or with which this Prakriti has been built up, that is where our habits are all coming from that. And so the difficulty is that our ahankaram is fueled by the presence of all these things. Vasanas are there, and then the intelligence is there, the buddhi is there, manas is, mind is there, and the gross body senses, they all have a role to play in influencing the ahankaram inside us. So, the first thing required is, in order to these things to change, first thing required is to get the body under control. Spiritual life is nothing but tapasya. Tapasya means that how to purify our existence in this world, right? Perhaps we may not be conscious of these things, because both the body is a problem, the mind is a problem, our speech is a problem. In all these three planes, we have got problems, right? So, tapasya is required. Tapasya means austerities, penances. All these things are essential. On a bodily level, first thing we have to start with, bodily habits, getting up early and washing, cleaning, keeping yourself clean. And then all kinds of diet, for example, food habits. All these things are necessary to keep this body in a fairly balanced state so that it does not cause for our advancement in spiritual life. That's required. Of course, this has to start from the very beginning. Now at this age, now to start all these things is impossible. But the fact, the spirituality comes like this in a person. Person becomes spiritual when he had a definite plan behind this. To start with the body first, bringing the body under control. Body has a tendency to drag us. Body will tell you always, oh, let's sleep a long more time. Or body will tell you, let's enjoy this, let's enjoy that. All that is a part of together with the senses. So to become free from that, the body has to be brought under control. That is the first step, how to bring the body under control, right? The second step, which is a little bit more subtle, which is the changing the mental habits, habits of the mind, ingrained in the inner plane, because this is a little bit more subtle level. Body level is more gross, but subtle level the changes to happen, right? And that is where dhyanam comes, meditation and other things comes there. Right? So, like a scientist who examines his chemicals, what he is using for experiments, how he uses them, in the same way, one who is doing sadhana must learn the art of going inside, going inwards and start analyzing his vasanas. It is required. One has to know about oneself, not about others, about oneself. What kind of person am I? I have to think in that way. What kind of mentality I have? What kind of nature I have? My weaknesses and my strength, whatever we may have, right? So, and so, once you see this mind and how it is playing out all the time and what it is made of, you start realizing that the negativities in the mind, what we have, requires some willpower to be applied to change those habits, right? So this is how this bodily level and the mental level, the changes what is required. So prakriti, which is our nature, and Krishna called prakriti before as the kshetram also. Remember, it has come from prakriti, isn't it? Kshetram came from prakriti. So, and that includes the senses, the mind, the intellect, everything, ego. So, therefore, that is why you see that verse in the Bhagavata Dharmam. Kayena vacha, manasendriyarva, buddhyalpanava, prakriti, subhaval. They are all belonging to prakriti. Prakriti, subhavam, accordingly they will act. Kayam, body. Words, speech. Mind, manasa, mind. Kayena vacha, manasa, indriyarva, senses. So, buddhyalpanava, buddhi, all that. Prakriti, subhavad. According to the prakriti, subhavam, we will act. There's not much you can do about it, right? Karoti yadid. So therefore in Bhagavata Dharma, what they do, that you offer everything to Krishna. Leave all that under Krishna's control. And this prakriti both includes the mind also, subconscious mind and unconscious mind. This is the fuel, is the fuel for samsara. Material existence is coming from that. Yeah. So based on that prakriti, that a person's senses and the mind will operate, right? So the ego is the expression of that nature, of the expression of the nature. So we were discussing that yesterday, that in everyone this is there, but in a different levels, two different levels. That I want to become something in life. Something is not satisfying inside. No peace inside. Yeah. So that is why in that verse what we looked yesterday, in the first canto, in the third chapter, what we mentioned there. In the beginning itself, in the Bhagavadam, they put that in. Adeha dhanyam, that is 39 verse. Adeha dhanya bhagavanda mittham, yad vasudeve ahila loganathe, kurvandi sarvalpmadam alpmabhavam, na yatra bhoyam parivarta ugra. That alpmabhavam, sarvalpmadam alpmabhavam, right? So, because they are fortunate, says Narada Maharshi there, that you are completely absorbed in Vasudeva. Absorbed in Vasudeva means sarvalpagam alpa bhavam. The word Vasudeva means one who lives in everyone. Vasa means to live. One who lives in everyone. That Atma. That is Vasudeva referring to. Not Krishna's father. Not in that sense spoken. It's spoken here as sarvalpagam alpa bhavam. Yad Vasudeve ahila yoganatha. One who is present in everyone as Andaryami, present inside. So, yad vasudeve adhila yoganada kurvandi sarvalpagam alpa bhavam. With that awareness that Krishna is Andaryami, is present in everyone and that's one. With that one, na yatra bhuya parivarta ugra. So, those who are doing that, in that way, that vasudeva Andaryami, then they will not be affected by the effect of samsara. The effect of samsara won't be there for them. They won't be affected by that. So, Andaryami Upasana has been spoken in the beginning itself in the Bhagavadam, like that. Yeah. So, then, so it is like this, that there is a lot of bubbles coming out in the ocean, and that they will break up and they will become the ocean again. Similarly, waves also come from the ocean. They also go and disappear later. In the same way, this ahangaram, if it leaves us, if it goes away completely, then we have become one with the Andaryami. And when the ahangaram goes, then what is left inside is only Andaryami, and we become that then. Then there is no more we existing separately from the Andaryami. Our existence doesn't exist there. So, that is our perfection, purnatvam. Purnatvam means perfection, right? And when you are in the form of a bubble or in the wave, there is fear. But when the bubble or when the bubble or the wave disappears, then the fear is gone, right? And it is at that stage that you have this fear of when in the form of bubble now, like the way we are now, it's like a bubble or existence. It is at that time that we have this fear, right? So, in other words, when we are not in connection with Andaryami, existing as a separate entity, there will be fear, always. There will be fear. So, that is why, in that second chapter, Kavi Maharshi said that, isn't it? Bhayam, didiyal, abhiniveshatasyal, ishad, abhedasya, vibhajayo, smriti. That particular verse, yeah? Ishad, abhedasya, vibhajayo, smriti. And then he said that tanmaya yado budham abhajetam bhakteka yesham guru devadalpa. When Bhagavata Dharma was spoken by Kavi, this is the third or fourth verse there, 37. Yeah. Bhayam didiyal abhinivesatasyal. All these Kavi's verses are very powerful verses, they are. Because he is the first sage who spoke to Nimi, isn't it? And Sri Narada Maharshi is saying this to Vasudev. This is the background of this. Kavi Maharshi spoke to Nimi, and Sri Narada Maharshi is saying this to Vasudev. And these three chapters, this second, third and fourth chapter, which is the Nimi Navayogi Samvadam, its expansion is Krishna's Uddhava conversation. What is spoken in these three chapters, it's expanded further in the chapters later. Uddhava, Krishna Uddhavadesham. It's nothing but an expansion of these three. These three chapters are a condensed form of Uddhavadesham. So, nine sages, they were famous, weren't they? Because Rishabhadev's sons, first of all. Bharata was the eldest child. And these 9 Yogishwaras, they are called, they all became great yogis because of the mercy from Rishabhadev. And they traveled all around, established temples. Many deities they have installed in different parts. And so among them, the eldest is Kavi. And Kavi spoke to them. Kavi's point is that, Bhayam didiyal abhinivesatasyal isha rapetasya vipajayosprati tan mayayato budam abhajetam bhaktegayesham guru devadalma. Once you have turned your face away from the Antaryami, then what will happen to us? Surupa smarana will go. That means we will lose our connection with our Surupam. Actual Surupam is Antaryami. So this Surupa smarana, our own Surupam connection is broken with that. Yeah. And when that happens, identification with the body becomes stronger, ahangaram will come. And from ahangaram comes sakti, attachment. And then attachment comes fear. And all that happens because of maya. So, bhayam, didiyal, abhinivesatasyal, ishat, apedasya, vipareyo, smriti, tan mayayato. It is maya is behind that. And therefore, one who has intelligence, he should take the shelter of in 3 places, Guru, Ishvara, and Atma. Tan maya yato budham abhajetam bhaktega yesham Guru, Devada, Atma. Guru, Devada, Atma. They are actually one in 3 forms. Comes as Guru outside, and Devada is the form what you are worshipping, and Atma, the very self. Tan maya yato budham abhajetam bhaktega yesham Guru, Devadatma. So with bhakti one should take shelter of those things, said Kavi Maharshi. Right? So what is the reason for that? He says here, the problem is this, that he has gone and caught hold of a second thing, Dvidiyam. Right? The Rishi's words are very alert. You have to read it with a lot of alertness. Right? That means you are seeing a second thing exist in this world, separately from you. So, and you are going and holding on to this different things, different people and different living entities, and saying that all these things are existing, right? Therefore, what happened? Because of that, you have lost the touch with the source, Antaryami, right? In other words, you are estranged from the source. You broke the connection with the source. This is all a shift in the consciousness. Remember yesterday we discussed, Prakriti is there for the animals. We are in the platform of the mind. Higher than this is the consciousness. In these 3 levels, we all exist. All living entities exist. Birds, animals, and aquatics, and all living entities, other living entities, they all exist in the platform of the Prakriti. Purely Prakriti. We, human species, exist in the platform of the mind. Higher than us, Ishvara's consciousness. Ishvara exists in the platform of consciousness. Consciousness is the highest one. And once we have come into this situation with the mind, we don't normally go back to Prakriti again. You only move further from up. You have to go up, not go down further. So from the mind, the state of mind, you have to go to the platform of consciousness. Now, because we got separated from the source is Antaryami, where we have come from, right? And it broke up like this. I am separate, Ishvara is separate. This thing breakup happened first, right? And when you are in that state, there will always be distress. The distress will be there, right? And I will suffer through all kinds of distress. And in order for me to exist like that, ahangaram is required. Only when ahangaram is there, I will feel the separation from the Antaryami, from Krishna, right? And that ahangaram is not real. It is a false thing, right? That's why it's called false ego, right? And actually what is existing there is pure chit shakti, chinmatra shakti or chidvastu. Antaryami only. This ahangaram there is only a artificial thing. It has no reality, but it is, we are fallen into that, in that state, right? That's why they give this example of Rajusarpam, the rope and the snake. Rope is lying there, and in the dark, in the dim light, you can't see it. You thought there is a snake there. When you brought the light and flashed it on the rope, you find there is no snake there. There's only rope there. Similarly, actually there was only rope there before also. When you brought the light and flashed it on that rope, you realize that there is no snake there. So the existence of the snake is, when you look and inquire about that and the ahankaram inside, it doesn't exist. It's not real, but it is there. So this is the difficulty with the ahankaram, right? So what actually existing is that Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, Atma, Andaryami, eternal, pure, fully conscious, always liberated, that is our actual Swarupam, right? Once we realize that, then the fear goes away. So those who are taking Krishna shelter, they won't have this fear. Once you have taken the shelter, then there is no fear anymore. So when you are holding on to everything else in this world, in the outside world, and you are holding on to that, there will be fear. There will be fear. So whichever you go and catch hold of in this world, whatever it may be, wherever you have connection with the world, you feel strong connections with that. So Maitreyi says this to Yajnavalkya Maharshi. What does he say? Yajnavalkya says to Maitreyi that whatever you take shelter in this world, all of that one day will leave you. It's not a permanent thing. But even though that is the reality, we still go and take shelter of things. Is it not? That's our nature is like that. We know very well nothing is permanent here. In spite of that, we will go and take shelter of different things, right? So, and while leaving, it will give you distress in some form. And everybody knows that. But thinking about itself is creating fear inside. Oh, these people will not be around me forever. They'll be all gone. Sooner or later they will go. Same thing with the money. And all the other little things in the house which you are attached to, every time you look at it, you are thinking that they'll be gone. Once you go, you will be leaving behind everything. Nothing you will take with you. We give importance to every little thing, thinking that this is mine. It's there. I feel security because it is there. In this way, our mind is like that. Yeah. So, and when you leave, so many times you leave, people die and go, and you see they leave behind everything here. And then it is left to the next generation to sort it out. Or the mess what you have collected in the whole life. They have to sort it out after that. They'll come, call the skip and put everything in and it's gone. That's the end of it. Whereas 50, 60 years when you were in this world, because of our attachment to those things, every little thing, you won't throw it away, you'll keep it. Sometime it will come useful, we'll say. Householder's mind is like that. Is it not? We all know that, how householder works in this life. Everything will accumulate and put it in some plastic box or some cupboards or somewhere it is there. And you won't even remember where they are. And when you want it, you also can't find it. But still you know it is somewhere there in the house. And attachment to such things. And one day, without notice to anything, you are taken out to Golders Green and you are gone. And all those things what you have very tirelessly collected in life, it's lying there. So, that's all. So this kind of things, that fear that I will lose all these things in one day, it may not be very valuable things, but still you find that useful in your life. So you're holding on to that, right? So that fear, then similarly people who are around you, very closely with you, whole 40, 50 years you have interacted with them, and they were a part of your life at every stage. Because you have given so much time of your time for them, and you have given them a lot of service, and you are always concerned about their welfare. If anything happens to them, you get affected. In this way, attachment has been built up there also. And then there is this fear, will they go one day? They will also leave you one day. Right? So that's another thing. Thirdly, the body. Body, you have given so much time for the body also. All kinds of maintenance you have done for this body. And the body also, will anything happen to this body? And when one after the other symptoms are coming, that it is on its way, you start becoming conscious of that. And you know that nothing can be done about it, because it is on its way. And so therefore, and similarly what will happen to others' body in this way. So everything, these are what Krishna is talking about. You have taken shelter of all these things. Taken shelter of your body, taken shelter of your family or friends or society, taken shelter of your possessions. In all three of them will leave us and go one day. And you have to say goodbye to all in one stroke. Right? So what do you do for this now? Then there is that fear. That fear is working in every one of us in a subtle level. That fear is working in us in a very subtle level. All these things will leave me one day and I'll have to go. Right? So that is what he is saying here. That what does a devotee do then? He knowing these things, he always takes shelter of Antaryami, Krishna inside, Krishna in the heart. He always thinks like this. All these things are not mine. They are here. Somehow or the other it has come to me. To do some prarabdham, it has come. And this is my relationship with everything. With the body, with the family, and with the wealth. These three things. Body, family, and the wealth. These three things. Knowing very well that I have no connection with them, and he takes shelter of Krishna. That is what a devotee does. Yeah, Buddha abhajetam, he mentions there, isn't it? Yeah, tanmaya Buddha abhajetam bhakteka yesha guru devadalpa. Guru devadalpa refers to basically Antaryami, who is in the form of guru outside and as our very self, as our very self. Yeah. So, so we take shelter of things, not fully conscious of the mistake we are doing in our daily life, because we are not so conscious of all the problems that it's going to create. We just go along with the life like everybody else, right? So here, and so what has happened now is, we have gone and taken shelter which is not meant for shelter. These things are meant for vyavaharam only. Body, family, and wealth. Three main things, right? They are meant for vyavaharam. Krishna is meant for taking shelter. What we have gone and done, we have taken shelter of these three things and we do vyavaharam with Krishna. That is where everything goes wrong. Yeah? So, Krishna is nitya vastu, permanent. If ever you are taking shelter of something, it should be a permanent thing. Taking shelter of a temporary thing is useless, waste of time, because one day it will give you distress. Knowing all that, still you will go and take shelter of the temporary things. That is this all requires some change inside our nature, our thinking nature, right? So anitya vastu is all these three things: body and the wealth, as well as the family, these three things. They are all temporary things. That is anitya vastu. Anitya vastu one should never take shelter of. Taking shelter means getting attached to it and thinking that they will be there when I am in trouble. To think like that. Taking shelter of temporary things, anitya vastu, is not what Krishna says here. He is saying that the anitya vastu you should not take ashrayam. Ashrayam means taking shelter. Ishvara, Krishna, Antaryami is nitya vastu, and that you should take shelter. Instead, what do we do? Anitya vastu we take shelter, nitya vastu we do vyavaharam with that. Right? So that is what Krishna is saying. In many places you will see this, Krishna saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha, he says to Arjuna. You see now, Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha. Krishna is saying, Arjuna, take my shelter and fight the war. Remember? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha. Mam Ashritya, he says, Krishna, in other places he says, Mam Ashritya, take my shelter. Jaramarana Mokshaya Mama Ashritya Yatandiye, he says. So repeatedly, Krishna is reminding us that we have gone and taken shelter of the wrong things. He is reminding this again and again and again in Bhagavad Gita. Yeah? Jaramarana Mokshaya Mama Ashritya Yatandiye. Mayasakta Manapartha Yogam Yunjan Mad Ashraya. So reminding constantly this thing, that is what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. Main instruction. Don't go and take shelter of the body, take shelter of the family, don't take shelter of the wealth. These three things, if you take shelter, that means they are not meant for taking shelter, they are meant for vyavaharam. Not that you have to completely throw them out. What it means is that deal with this consciousness, that they are temporary, they are not going to be with me permanently. Now they are with me due to some prarabdham, whatever it is. I will do what is necessary, what I can for them. More than that, I have no relationship with them. One has to fix this oneself within one's own mind. I have no relationship with any of these things more than that. Because they are there with me, due to some prarabdham, they have come in this life, in my life. That's what I'm saying. In Sanatana Dharmam, everything is very individualistic. You have to look after yourself first. You don't have to worry about this world. World, whoever has created, he knows how to run that. He has not sent me here to keep this world running. I am one like billions of jivas who have come here. We are also one among them. And if one could create such a massive creation, he knows, I'm sure, how to run it as well. He doesn't need. So sometimes people get into all this illusion, thinking that we have to fix this world first. And it is my duty to do that. And Krishna will be pleased with that. Well, Krishna is obviously pleased with that, but in the sense, if you are not looked after, Krishna will be more pleased with you if you look after yourself first. Because he has told us clearly, I have given this human body for what? For self-realization. Instead of doing that, if I try to save the world without doing what is meant to be done, I don't know, Krishna will be so pleased with us about that. Important thing is, Krishna's point is that you are here because of what? Previous karma. Karma vasana we have created, accordingly a body has come to us. And we are put into this miserable situation, constantly suffering from here, one way or the other. How to escape from here? Look for that first method to get out of this, right? So, again and again Krishna is saying that, don't take shelter of temporary things. Permanent thing, take shelter. Temporary thing, do vyavaharam. This is the principle. This is the principle. And so, therefore he said that, and live in this world in that way. Right? And Sri Narada Maharshi mentions this in Narada Bhakti Sutra. You can read that also. Narada Maharshi is our authority on the bhakti. He says here, Anyashrayanam Tyagaha Ananyaha. He says, Anyashrayanam Tyagaha Ananyaha. What is Ananya Bhakti? Pure Bhakti he is talking about, right? Sharanagari, what does that mean? Sharanagati means that he is not taking shelter of anything else except Antaryami, Krishna. Antaryami, right? So all other things, he will use it for vyavaharam purposes. Family, money, body, this is for vyavaharam, right? So everything what is available comes to his hand, he will use it for that purpose, utilize it for that. And that too in a dharmic way, in a dharmic way. So, in order to use them in a dharmic way, it is only possible when you are not taking shelter of it. All these things, you can use it in a dharmic way only if you are not taking shelter of it. If you are taking shelter of it, then adharmam will come in your transactions. You know that, without me explaining that. Suppose these three things, body, the wealth, and as well as the, So the body, the wealth, family, three things, right? These three things are meant for vyavaharam only. But instead, if you take shelter of that, then you won't be able to do things in a dharmic way. Adharmam will come into that, right? So, if the shelter is with Krishna, ashrayam, right? And in that case, these three things, body, wealth, and the family, three things which is for every householder, right? If they can be used within the boundaries of dharmam. Dharmam has its own boundaries, isn't it? You're not going to go outside the dharmam. So, if you do like that, there is no need to fear, right? And that is called abhayam. Fearlessness comes from that. That means taking shelter of Krishna, which is nitya vastu. Ashrayam is on Krishna, and temporary things, body, family, wealth, all those things for vyavaharam, if you do it without taking their shelter, then you can do that vyavaharam within the framework of dharmam. Otherwise, adharmam will come in life, right? So, this is the way it is spoken in the Upanishads. Upanishads, when they say abhayam, this is what they mean by that. So, samsaram means what? Samsaram means fear, always, isn't it? Atmajnanam, knowledge of the self, means what? Abhayam. Samsaram means fear. Knowledge of the self means abhayam, fearlessness, right? That's all. We are looking for abhayam, right? So, either through bhakti, or through jnanam, or through sharanagati, or you can to get there. Bhakti, jnanam, bhakti, sharanagati is one and the same thing. Bhakti is another expression is sharanagati. Bhakti you talk in another way called sharanagati. Yeah. Or through jnanam. Bhakti or jnanam, two things, right? So with bhakti or jnanam, only you will have this abhayam. State of abhayam. You may have heard this before. Lord Buddha, he has two names. You may have heard about that. One is called Shakya Simha, and the other one is called Bhavabhiru. In one level he was very fearful, and the other side he was like a lion. Buddha was like a lion, right? So, Shakya Simhan is a lion nature, and Bhavabhiru means fearful of birth and death. Fearful of birth and death, right? So, what was that? You remember, yadi janma jara maranam na bhaved, when Siddhartha walked out of his home, this is what he said. He is frightened. What is that? But he saw around people are dying. Taking birth, dying, all these things. Yadi janma jara maranam na bhaved, yadi ishta viyoga bhayam na bhaved. People around are leaving, and you can't do anything about it, right? Yadi sarva anityam idam shuddhana bhaved. Everything seeing is temporary around him. And therefore, he said there, so, idam na kashil radirna bhaved. How do you expect me to get attached to something like that? This is what he said. Buddha said like that. So, Buddha noticed this. It is in Buddha's words it is spoken, and that is also in the yoga system, also it says like that, right? So, Buddha says, as long as this birth, death, old age is there, and disease is there, there is fear inside. We all have that fear, is it not? Only we don't say it outside, and some people think, oh, you should not talk about it, because it's not very pleasant to talk about all your health issues, problems in the body, and all your family problems, and all your financial problems to everybody else. Nobody wants to hear all that, because they also got their own problems. So what's the point in talking to each other? Nothing is going to help, right? So, if you don't have all these things, right, because if you have all these things, there is fear inside, right? Buddha said, if I didn't have all these things, then I'm willing to stay in the position of the king. He said to his father, Shuddhodana. Siddhartha told Suddhodana, I will remain as the king, he said. But all these things are going to go. So therefore he said, Kachil Dedir na bhaved, I have no interest in any of these things. So he realized that all this is going to cheat him one day. He had this realization, family, wealth, friends, body, everything is going to cheat him one day, right? So then, therefore, he came to this awareness that Atma alone is the real. Antaryami is the only thing that is permanent. And therefore, he changed his way of thinking. Buddha changed his way of thinking, right? So, you know this word brahmachari, what does it mean? People prefer to use the word monk now. Lot of monks everywhere, isn't it? So brahmachari means that brahmacharyam param smradam means one whose mind is in brahmam. Charana means moving towards brahmam, right? Brahmacharyam. So, able to be related to Brahmam. All we are using different words, that's all. Brahmam refers to Antaryami, Atma. They are all one and the same thing, right? So, Brahmachari means that he is always leaning on Brahmam. Chaya means to lean onto something. One who is leaning onto Brahmam, right? In other words, one who is taking shelter of Nitya Vastu, permanent. Who is taking shelter? He is a brahmachari, right? If you take shelter of the body, body will cheat you one day. Body will cheat you one day. You can't trust the body. You can't trust the wealth. You can't trust the family members also, right? So again, taking shelter of the Nitya Vastu, Antaryami, and doing vyavaharam with the other things, right? In that case, there will be no fear. Fear is necessary because it's helpful for the inquiring about way out. Suppose you have no fear, you won't think about self-realization, would you? Suppose there is no fear, you will not think about self-realization. So, Bhartrihari says this, Bhaktir Bhaved Marana Janmam Bhayam Hridistham. Where there is fear, you should be there, because all the different emotions, fear is one kind of emotion, and it is necessary also, because inside us, it is our prakriti working, operating like that, right? And it could be put in a perfect order. For example, what is the position of the fear? Fear is like this. Bhartrihari says, Marana Janma Bhayam Hridistham. Marana Janma Bhayam Hridistham. Always if you are fearful about death, it is very favorable for spiritual knowledge. Otherwise spiritual knowledge won't come. World is wonderful, lot to enjoy here. Where the death comes, when it comes. If that mind comes, it's dangerous, it is. But always conscious of death, that death can come any time, we could be gone. You become much more focused in spiritual life. And these are the ways by which you go inwards. Only then inquiry will begin properly. Proper spiritual life will happen at that time. That is why in all great personalities, acharyas, when they write, they will mention this somewhere. Acharya Swami said, Punarabhi Jananam, Punarabhi Maranam, Punarabhi Janani Jadare Shainam. It is samsare, bahu dustare, kruvayapare, pahimurare. He is also reminding us everything, right? So, this fear, due to that fear, it's in a kind of avidya that is. Because when you are not self-realized, you are in the avidya state, is it not? Ignorant state. And in that ignorant state, this fear will be there. But if the fear is there, the after effect is, what is the after effect of that? You will be able to see the miseries or the distress in life. Otherwise you won't take notice of it. It'll come, it'll go, what does it matter? Like that, right? So, and if you don't see this misery and the fear from that misery, only then, if you only see those things, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam will benefit you. Otherwise not. Only when you have that fear or misery of the suffering of this world, when you are conscious of that, only then when you read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, it will have some effect on you. Otherwise it won't. It will be like reading any other novel or textbook. You will read it and throw it away. Right? So ajnanam or avidya, what we call it as, right? If you start realizing that people are frightened of cancer, is it not? Cancer, will it come? It can come to anyone. And there's all types of cancers in different parts of the body, pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, kidney cancer, this cancer, that cancer, breast cancer, all kinds of cancers. So always people are conscious of all these things, right? But this avidya inside is more fearful than this cancer, right? So if you feel like that, that not having the knowledge of the self due to this avidya and not having the self-realization, and if you feel that as a great distress, then janmam, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, all these things will have its effect on you. Its effect on you. So, if you are seeing these problems, birth, death, old age and disease, you remember Krishna said that very precisely, isn't it? Janmam, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, dukkha, doshana, darshanam. He's saying to us, openly, he's saying to us. You may think Krishna is not very friendly, isn't it? He's not inspiring much when you read Bhagavad Gita. Janmam, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, dukkha, doshana, darshanam. You should be conscious of these things all the time, Krishna is saying, right? So, if you are not seeing all these things, like the way Krishna has spoken, right? Like Buddha did, Buddha saw that. What Krishna has spoken, Buddha saw that. That is why he got affected by that. When Krishna said that in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukkha Doshani Darshanam, it affected Buddha so much. And that is, he put it in his own language to his father and told him, this is what is on offer in this world. Why should I waste my time here with these things? It is these words in the Bhagavad Gita that inspired Buddha to speak like that. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukkha Doshani Darshanam. Such powerful speeches, right? So, he felt that situation is so dangerous, he felt the head is on fire. And that is how he was trying to get out of this, right? Entire desire inside for realizing the truth. And if it comes like that, if a feeling comes like that, then what it means is like that, before the sunrise in the morning, just see the sunlight in the sky. That is a situation then with a person, right? Very soon then he will start getting involved in spiritual life then, proper spiritual life, right? So, so here when Krishna spoke about these qualities, the first thing he spoke was that abhayam, isn't it? Abhayam. That bhayam, not to have bhayam, right? Devotee should not have fear. If you are a proper devotee, there should not be any fear. That is a devotee. Devotee should not have fear. Why? Because he has taken shelter. He has taken shelter. Sharanagati, right? So if a person has come to spiritual life, right? If a person has come to spiritual life, the first symptom of that he has come to spiritual life, is this fearlessness, abhayam. He'll be totally fearless in life because he has taken shelter, Krishna shelter. If he has not taken shelter, that means that he will have fear still in life, right? So, abhayam. And that brings a kind of pleasant feeling inside. Mainly, he is not concerned too much about the death, about old age. Those fear goes away. And similarly, he is also free from ahangaram, that fear due to ahangaram, that also goes away. Secondly, so Krishna first spoke about this abhayam first, very strongly, which means taking shelter of Antaryami, permanent thing, and not to take shelter of the temporary things, which are meant for vyavaharam, And due to Sharanagati and surrender to Krishna, feeling fearless. That is the first quality Krishna has spoken. Abhaya sattva samshuddhir jnana yoga vivasthiti dhanam damascha yajnascha swadhyaya stava arjavam. Secondly, he said sattva samshuddhi. What is sattva samshuddhi means? For example, in all of us, these three modes of nature is working, is it not? Sattva gunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, right? And everybody has them. All the three are in everyone, right? When your sattva gunam is a little strong compared to rajogunam and tamogunam, that is when you will be a very happy state. Prasannada. Prasannada means you will have a pleasing nature at that time. And you will find a little happy situation inside. When sattva gunam is present, that's a symptom of that. You can notice this in people. It's not very difficult. A person who is in rajogunam, busy. No time for anything. Running here, running there, doing something or the other. Whereas you can talk to a person in sattva gunam. You can't talk to a person in rajogunam because he's so busy. Similarly, you can, and then what to talk about tamogunam. It is the worst situation, right? So, interestingly, you have to study these three modes of nature very carefully, right? So, when sattva gunam is present in a person, that is when you feel a little bit peaceful inside, shanti inside, right? Suppose you come to listen to Bhagavad Gita in the Salsangam also. If you have sattva gunam inside, you will hear Bhagavad Gita in a particular way. You will hear Bhagavad Gita and accept Bhagavad Gita in a particular way, you will accept it, right? A person in rajogunam, he will hear Bhagavad Gita in a different way. And one who is in tamogunam, practically he will hear something, but it will have no impact at all on him. So, depending on the three modes of nature, that is how you accept things. Your drishti, your vision also will be like that. You will see things depending on the three modes of nature, right? So, sattva gunam, or one who is in sattva gunam, he will look at people in one way, and those who are rajogunam, they look at it in a different way, and tamogunis will look in another way. You see that? Even our drishti will be different. The way we, all our senses will act based on these three modes of nature. These are all subtle things, and nobody will know the understand. You can understand this because when you see people, how thoughts comes inside about them, you will obviously some thoughts will appear inside. And that thoughts also depends on your gunam. Sattva gunam, raja gunam, tama gunam, right? So, first class listener, when he is in sattva gunam, if you are able to hear something, when you are in sattva gunam, if you are able to hear something, then, for example, Gurukulam, children, education, right? Gurukulam. It is for this purpose. Because at that age, there is more sattva gunam in them. To understand that is a little difficult because children, these three modes of nature gets into them at a little later stage in life. Little later stage. So that is why Gurukulavasam is for this purpose. Before modes of nature captures them, you train them. Get inside. And that is why at that age, Kaumarajarai Prajna, this is all based on this principle, that if you can pump spiritual knowledge into them before the modes of nature take control, then there is a little security there for that child. Right? So, now, the problem is, when we will be in sattva gunam, we will never know that. When that will happen, right? We ourselves don't know. When that sattva gunam comes, you have to look at yourself and see sometimes you felt good, peaceful, shanti inside and able to focus on things. That's all a symptom of sattva gunam. Whereas a lot of thoughts have come and disturbed inside, that time it's a rajogunam's effect, right? So, you know, in 7th canto, Lord Shiva attacks to Tripuram. Tripurandaka he is called. And he had to wait for a right opportune moment for fighting those demons. Tripuram. Tripurandaka, he is called. From that he got the name, right? So, that means there is a particular time when you are ready for that. So Lord Shiva waited for that time to come so that he could fight and kill them. He waited for that. There's only two chapters at the end of seventh canto, I think. Yes, just before the Varnashrama Dharma spoken, two chapters, right? Tripura Dahanam, it's called. He destroyed these demons in the three planetary systems, right there. Okay. So similarly, in the same way, it is when Sattvagunam is present in a person, that is the time you have to inject spiritual knowledge into him. When the Sattvagunam is there. Tattvajnanam should be spoken to a person when he has Sattvagunam. When he is in Tamogunam, there is no point. It will not work. Same thing with Rajogunam also. Right? So if you increase this Sattvagunam in a person, that person will become, Prasannada will come. Prasannada means this pleasing nature in him. Receptivity, you can say. Receptivity. He will be receptive to things, right? It is not self-realization. It's just being receptive to things, right? It is a temporary thing. And the symptom of that is, you are able to focus on things, you are able to analyze things inside, and able to focus your mind and intelligence in that way. And similarly, when you are in meditation, you feel happy. When you are chanting the holy name, you feel happy. When you're sitting in the satsangam, you feel happy. When you see the deities, you feel happy, right? So these are all symptoms of that sattvagunam in a person. You have to observe people when they come to the temple. You look at their faces. Different people. Some people, after parking the car, with a lot of anxiety, they come. And they are not, it takes time for them to come to some stability inside, peacefulness inside, right? So the thing is that sattvagunam, when it keeps increasing in a person, this prasannada, this pleasing mood will come to him. That is the beauty of the sattvagunam. He'll be very pleasant to deal with. No anxiety, not stressed out, always in a calm mood, right? So, manasa prasannada, manaprasade paramatma darshanam. So, one reason for that is, the mind is not going around in the world outside to different objects, sense objects, right? And that is the reason for that. Sometimes you can become depressed also due to various problems in life, right? Or sometimes you could become sleepy based on rajogunam, tamogunam. Sattvagunam means prasannada. Rajogunam means activities and disturbed mind or depressed mind, you can say. Depressed means all disturbed inside, completely shaken. And sleep means tamogunam, comes from that, right? So therefore, prasannada, sattvagunam means, the symptoms of sattvagunam is that he's very alert then, he's very alert. Vigilant, you can say like that, right? And how will you get that, sattvagunam? How do you build it up, right? Sanat Kumara Maharshi in Chandokya Upanishad says this to Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi goes to four Kumaras. They are his guru. Chandokya Upanishad is a instructions to Narada Maharshi by the four Kumaras. Chandokya Upanishad, right? So there they are saying that ahara shuddho sattva shuddhi. First thing begins with the food, right? Then sattva shuddho dhruva smritihi smrider labher sarva grandhinam vipramokshaha. Prabhupada has quoted that in the Bhagavad Gita, this particular Chandokya Upanishad statement. Ahara shuddho sattva shuddhi. Now sattva shuddho dhruva smritihi and smrider labher sarva grandhinam vipramokshaha. What does that mean? If your aharam, food is pure, then sattvagunam will be good there in a person. Basically, that's a big problem today. Why? First of all, food has to be pure, isn't it? Food is not pure first. Look at the milk what you get. Look at the vegetables that you eat. Look at the grains, what their conditions are. So forget about the other things. Even for vegetarians, to get proper quality food is difficult now. All what is sold in the super, nicely packaged and all that, but the stuff inside is not grown properly with chemicals and all kinds of rubbish. They have packaged it and sold it to us. And when you, sometimes when you read about that, you don't want to eat that anymore. What can you do? But that's all available. And even that is such price-wise, so high. So, ahara shuddha sattva shuddhi. So, aharam has to be good, proper aharam, proper, right? And so, he says, then sattvagunam, if sattvagunam comes like that, when you hear things, shravanam, when you hear shravanam, or when you do mananam, or alpavijaram, that spurti, what you are getting inside, that realization, it will stay with you. Because sattvagunam is not strong inside, that is why it is leaving us straight away. So many things we hear from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, it's not staying with us. It's leaving us straight away. Once you walk out, it's gone. Or sometime 1 or 2 days it will stay. And then when somebody reminds you about it, then you will remember. Otherwise you have forgotten completely. Right? That is what is called a spurti. Spurti means something that has gone inside, staying inside, and coming out when it is required. But that's not happening. Spurti. Right? You will be able to hold it back. Not able to hold it back is due to lack of sattvaguna. So, just like they give the example, you know, when you do a fire sacrifice, all the bricks are there in the sacrifice, and agni, fire, is held by these bricks within that. Fire will stay within that. It won't go outside the bricks. In the same way, this sattvagunam has got the capacity to keep it together, that peace, shanti inside. For that, main requirement is ahara shuddhi, food, right? So, basically if you take the grains, what you eat, right? So, you know very well that whatever grains we are eating, annam, and the gross side of it goes as stool, what we discharge from the body, right? And the middle part of that, the gross part goes like that. The middle part becomes the flesh in the body, and most subtle part of that becomes the mind. That's well known. When you eat any food, the most subtle part of that becomes the mind. The gross part of that is the middle one, you can say, becomes the flesh in the body. It is consumed by the gross body. It becomes the gross body. And all the other things are rejected by the body. Body rejects all that. So, ahara shuddhi is very important for sattva shuddhi. All acharyas agree with that. Shankaracharya, Ramanuja, Madhva, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everybody says this. Ahara shuddhau sattva shuddhi. Right? It is in the Chandogya Upanishad, it is in the Nectar of Devotion also. Goswamis have also taken that. Right? So, because of this, normally they will say that ours is a kitchen religion. Everything is centered around kitchen, they say. Kitchen religion, right? So, what we don't understand is, the most important part in the house is kitchen. Isn't it? Most important part. But nowadays, it's not like that. The living room. With all your medals and all the successes in life, everything displayed, and sofa sets to sit comfortably. Kitchen is not given anymore important because everything is coming by Uber. Uber is bringing, and so that kitchen don't get dirty, you can get out of the washing up as well, right? So pujamuri or deity room where you worship the deity, even that is not given that much importance as the kitchen is. Kitchen is more important than the deity room, even if you have deities at home. So so everything that goes inside is coming from the kitchen, is it not? Everything, so, then if that is offered to Krishna, Naivedyam, right? And if that goes inside, naturally there will be sattvagunam, will be there, right? So, therefore, that is the reason who are doing sadhana, serious sadhana, those people, they won't eat from outside, anywhere. Hotels, restaurants and places like that, they will never eat. Those who are doing sadhana seriously, right? And of course the best solution is one cooking for oneself. That is the best process. If one can cook for oneself, right? And all Mahatmas will say this, right? Not to eat outside, But if you can cook yourself your own food and eat it, that's the best, right? In that case, the sattugunam will become pure. That alone is not enough though. Just because I'm cooking myself and eating it, doesn't mean that sattugunam will come, right? Basic things are chanting the holy name, meditation, similarly anushtanam, and daily reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. All these things, if it is done, that is the, you can say that's the first step in this, right? So if all these things are not happening, sattugunam won't build up in a person, right? So, so ahara shuddhi, food, can create sattva shuddhi, sattva samshuddhi. What Krishna is saying there? Abhaya sattva samshuddhi. So sattva samshuddhi, the second requirement, is lot dependent on the ahara for the food, right? Now, there is a little difference opinion about this. Aharam is one thing that goes through the mouth, right? But through other senses also what you are receiving things inside. Acharya Swamiji says all the five senses has to be in a pure things, has to go. That means the things what you see, the things what you hear, the things what you touch, the things what you smell, all five senses should receive things pure form. So whereas only if ahara shuddhi is there, but all other senses are busy with other things, with not very pleasant things, then it won't work, right? So he's saying here, if everything is pure, then in that case, this knowledge that everything is antaryami, atma, that knowledge, with that he will become purified straight away, right? So, that means he will realize that what Krishna, sarvatma bhavam, what we talk about. Sarvatma bhavam will come to him easily and he will be able to recognize that he won't find ashuddhi, impurity in anything, and everything, this atma, presence of atma in everyone, or Krishna's presence, or Brahman's presence, if you have come to that state, then you can say that everything is pure inside. Suppose that is the test for that. If you get the sarvatma bhavam, what we spoke in the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, sarvatma bhavam akhila lokanathe yad vasudevi, he said that, isn't it? So, that sarvatma bhavam comes in a person. What that means is, he is in sattugunam and all his senses are in a pure state. Only then that will happen. This sarvatma bhavam is the test for that. If one feels the presence of antaryami in everyone, sarvatma bhavam, when that comes, so that is why he says here, if you remember, in the fourth chapter, Krishna mentioned that. In the fourth chapter, what this sarvatma bhavam is. Sometimes certain things when Krishna says, it may be a little, he may mention this before in some other chapter. You see, he will mention this in some other chapter, what he meant by that. Bhagavad Gita is like that. Some place you read something and you are not able to understand what Krishna meant, then you have to look somewhere else in Bhagavad Gita, he would have spoken about that. Same thing here. If you look at the 38th verse, 438 in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying there, Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyade tal swayam yoga samsiddham kalena atmani vindadi. He is mentioning there, isn't it? Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyade tat swayam yoga samsiddham kalena atmani vindadi. Krishna says that. He says, nothing there is higher than the knowledge of the self in this world. Knowledge of the self, right? And that knowledge, he says, one who has got yoga, he will get it from the Atma. Yoga means one who is in the yoga state. That means body, mind, speech. These three things. Remember what I mentioned yesterday. Patanjali came and gave all the three to this world. Through Yoga Sutram for the mind, Panini Sutram for the speech, and for the Charaka Samhita for the body. That is why Patanjali is given a very high rating among the rishis, because of this. There's a whole history behind Patanjali's life. If you read through that, you'll find. Patanjali is Adishesha. Adishesha is Balaram, Sankarsana Murti. He has come in three different forms. As Patanjali, he wrote Yoga Sutram. And as Charaka Samhita, he wrote Ayurvedam for the body. And he wrote the speech, how to speak properly. To learn the grammar for that, he wrote Panini Sutram. Panini Sutram. So, Panini Sutram, Yoga Sutram, and Charaka Samhita, all three are contributions from... Because Patanjali said, if these three are in under control, proper control, you can be in the yoga state. And in that yoga state, he says, Tat Swayam Yoga Samsiddha Kalen Atmani Vindadi. Only in the yoga state, you will have spiritual knowledge. Knowledge will work then. Otherwise, it is all in the mind and intelligence. The knowledge in the mind and intelligence is useless. Useless in the sense that you can understand things, but it is not having its effect on you. The impact is not there. Impact will happen, but in not, you remember what we talked about, Brahma Vidya and Yoga Shastram. Yoga Shastram is required for Brahma Vidya. Only when Yogam is there, Brahma Vidya will work. Otherwise, Brahma Vidya won't work, right? So that's what he's saying here. Tat Swayam Yoga Samsiddha. Krishna is saying this. Nahi Jnanena Sadrisham Pavitram Yuhalabhyade Vidyade Tat Swayam Yoga Samsiddham Kalena Atmani Vindadi. He says, if you are in the yoga state, then this knowledge will come to you in due course of time from the Andaryami inside. It will come to you from the Andaryami inside. So that's what he's saying. So, Adhyatma Sadhana, in the sadhana process, in this situation, you will have that this knowledge, which one? This Sattvagunam first. So that is where the Sattva Samshuddhi comes. Sattva Samshuddhi means what? Sattva means your body, mind, that is you, the existence in this world, the way you are existing. Body, mind, and the speech. This is your Sattvam. And that should be pure, Sattva Samshuddhi. When they are pure, that's what will happen, right? So, gradually, what we discuss in the morning, that dvaidam inside us, we have to remove it from inside. What was dvaidam? Seeing many things in this world. And due to that, because you see so many things in this world, ragadvesham comes from that. There are so many things, some things you like, some things you don't like. That is ragadvesham. Ragadvesham comes. So, certain things when you see, you don't like it. When you see them, right? And suppose certain things, what you didn't like it, you saw that, it will get inside, in the form of dvesham, right? And certain things, suppose you didn't like it, and you heard it by somehow or the other, then your mind, Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying this, what will happen to your mind is like this, twitching, the eye, of our, this higher, upper part of the eye, right? When suddenly a dust comes, what the eye does, it shuts. Straight away, eyes will shut down. Without your knowledge, it happens. Is it not? You didn't think about it and before shutting the eye. Immediate response from inside to shut the eye when the dust comes. Right? Similarly, if the mind is in Sattvagunam, what will happen is, he's saying that, anything, some disturbing news comes from the world, immediately it will shut down. Yeah? Sarvado Bhadram. And that Shanti, he will retain that. Not getting affected by the disturbing news from the world outside. Right? So, so in order for that to happen, this anyam, seeing something separately, everything existing, this has to leave us. Right? So, that Brahmam, that is called Brahmam. Right? So, that is how Vedantam sees that. Vedantam sees it in that way. So Vedantam is saying here that Vedantam itself, it is actually is not a philosophy as such. It is the highest state of yoga. In other words, when you are seeing things with your eye, when you are hearing things with your ears, when you are smelling things with your nose, or when you are touching with your hand something, when you are doing all this vyavaharam, no vikalpam will come inside. Vikalpam. Vikalpam means thoughts coming in about that. That impact of the action of the senses doesn't happen inside. Of course, it is a very subtle thing. You may ask, how is that possible? It is possible. Yogis are able to do that. Yeah. So, no vikalpa means you don't feel any ragadvesham inside. Now, how is it in this world when you deal with somebody? If he is pleasant, you will have ragam. If he is not pleasant, there will be dvesham. And it is applicable to all the people whom you deal with and all the objects in this world. It will create ragadvesham inside us. So, if a state comes, when it is not creating any more ragadvesham inside, that means there is no vikalpam inside. That state he is talking about, because all these things are happening in the form of what? Chittavritti, thought waves, right? If I am only existing, and then only if you are fixed in that existence of awareness only, then no chittavritti will come. Of course, it all happens in a very advanced state of realization, right? One who is doing very excellent sadhana, only he can expect all these things to happen. Ordinary people, it's very difficult. Ordinary people, we can understand all these things, makes all sense, but to bring it into practical life will require intense sadhana for that, right? So chittavritti comes when you are separated from the source, Antaryami, right? We don't have to think about ourselves. There is no chittavritti. Suppose there is only one person, then there is no chittavritti. Suppose there is only one person, right? We don't have to think about ourselves, right? Thoughts are always about something separately from you. So, I don't think about myself. I don't think about my Atma any time. Atma is my real identity. I may be thinking about body and the senses and the mind and intelligence and all that. I may think about it. But I will never think about me, the real Antaryami inside. I never think about it, right? Why is that I don't think about it? Because we already got it. Siddhavastu it is. It's always with me and I know it will never leave me. That bodham, consciousness, awareness. I will never lose it. Because I know I will not lose it, I will not worry about it either. Whereas everything else comes and goes. Because it comes and goes, I have concern about it. Some things I want, some things I don't want. So that creates chittavritti inside. This is how chittavritti comes. Chittavritti comes because you are dealing with things which you have created in your mind, existing separately from you. And when they come and go, you are affected by that. That's the point, right? So when you have different objects existing separately from you, then you are reviewing them, whereas or about yourself, you don't think about it. When I'm saying myself, I mean Antaryami inside, right? And thoughts are, Antaryami is concerned, thoughts are not necessary because it's spontaneous. Antaryami is spontaneous inside, right? If you say this to people will say, how is it possible to sit in this world without thinking, they will say. People say like that, don't they? Say, it's impossible to stay without thinking about things, right? What does thought means? Thought wave, let's call it, right? Thought wave is nothing but, in a particular moment, the mind is moving in one direction, right? Mind is moving. And the next moment you will see, it changes the direction going in another way. This change of movement of the mind is called thought. What is happening inside us? Mind is a very complex phenomenon, is it not? Complex it is, right? So, Krishna is saying that these thoughts are coming like this, one after the other. These thoughts, movement of these thoughts will stop if Sattva Samshuddhi comes. That's why that second one is important. In that chapter, first verse itself, Krishna talked about first Abhayam, what we discussed. Then Sattva Samshuddhi. Abhaya, Sattva Samshuddhi, then the third thing, Jnanam. Those three are the most important ones. These three. Abhaya, Sattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti. If these three things are there, you are divine nature. But those three things don't come easily though. That's the problem. Abhaya, Sattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti. That's why he puts them in the first list, in the top of the list. Abhaya, Sattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti. Right? So, Sattva Shuddhi has to come first, you have to have Abhayam first, right? Or if Abhayam comes to you first, then Sattva Samshuddhi will come, right? Or you can say if Sattva Shuddhi is there, Sattva Samshuddhi you call it, Abhayam will be there in that person, right? And when this Sattva Samshuddhi at its peak is Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti, they are all connected to each other. Abhayam, Sattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti. All three are connected to each other. When Abhayam is very strong, Sattva Samshuddhi will come. When Sattva Samshuddhi comes to its top level, then Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti will come. We will see what that is later. Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti, right? So these three things, Abhayam, Sattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti. If we can, when you understand all that, then you start realizing that in spiritual life there is a long way to go to get there, right? So Sattvagunam is the beginning of that. Sattvagunam is the beginning of that, right? And after saying that, all these things, devotees try this, to develop them, right? Not allowing anything to disturb their mind. And similarly, devotees have different ways of solving this problem. In Harinama Kirtanam, what it says is, whatever you see in this world, you are seeing that it is Krishna who is present in that way. And whatever you hear, that you are hearing is what about Krishna. And whatever you do in this world, with karmam, everything is for pleasing Krishna. In this way, they try to develop this Sattva Samshuddhi. That is what that Kayana Vaja also saying. The same thing. So Sattva Samshuddhi comes in these various ways. It has to happen. Right? So, Prahlada was Siddha, wasn't it? He was a perfect devotee when he came from the womb itself. Right? So, therefore, when Hiranyakashipu got annoyed with him and started yelling at him, at that time, he could not understand anything. What is he doing? He could not understand it. What is he shouting about, right? So, you know, little children, when they are small, right, naturally, they won't know anything. They don't understand like the way we take it, they don't take it that way, right? So, basically in spiritual life, what we are doing is, consciously, we want to become like children. Become like children, right? So, children, if you look at them, you will see, children doesn't think about a thief and all that, like the way we think about a thief, or someone came to steal, things like that. Children don't think like that, right? So, and similarly, he does not have thought waves like the way it comes to us. You don't see them sitting there deeply thinking about something. They are just interested in playing. Why is it like that? They are different than us. in that way, right? And similarly, he also doesn't think one person is a good person, one person is a bad person. Small children we are talking about. They don't think like that, right? So, there is a story about this. Paramacharya said this story. You can read that in the Voice of God. What he said was that a little child, 5 years old or so, their parents put him a bangle, a golden bangle, gave it to him. And he was wearing that bangle, right? And in them days, not now, people had a lot of respect for the Brahmana boys, children, little children. Because you will see them certain higher qualities, what you don't see in the other people. And when you see that, naturally you feel respectful to them, right? So, once it so happened, this child was with this bangle on, he was playing, and he fell down, and the bangle broke and fell off on the road where he was playing with somebody else, right? So there was one man walking that way. He saw the bangle has fallen on the ground. So the man came out and saw the bangle lying there. It's a golden bangle as well. And he asked the child, "What's your name?" So the child said some name to him, whatever it was, right? So the boy told him, "Can you fix it for me?" He said, it was broken, he was feeling bad about it. He said, "Yeah, I'll get it fixed and bring it back to you," saying that he took the bangle and he left, right? So the child never thought, he thought he will bring it back. That's a natural way, he being children, you see, he doesn't know that he could be stealing it, even on give it back, or these things didn't come. He didn't know anything else. He came, he took it, and he went away, right? And that is why that state of mind is very conducive for spiritual life. That's the state we want to achieve. Like that child was not effective. In the Narayaniyam, actually, the Dattatreya Maharshi says this in Ekadasha Skandam. Yeah? There you will see there that the 24 spiritual masters. He talks about a child, you remember? I want to be like a child. Arbhaga. Right. Vartaya tektamanam sukhamadishishuval nisahaya shareyam kanyaya mega shesho valaya ivaibho varjidan anya ghoshai tuchito nava buddhi paramashukradiva smabrada yana ghosham geheshu anya pranideshu ahiriva nivasa induro or mandireshu. Melpatur summarized that relationship of the child, what Dattatreya observed in the child, in this verse. Vartaya tyaktamanam sukhamadi shishuval nisahaya shareyam. Dattatreya Maharshi is Prahlada, to Yadu, he's saying to him, Vartaya tyaktamanam sukhamadi shishuval nisahaya shareyam. When will I be able to walk in this world totally in a helpless way like a child? That's what he said. How will I be able to walk in this world totally helpless? Nisahayas chareyam. Kanyaya megashesho valayubo varjida nyanya ghosham. Like that girl who had put the bangles on the arms and which she took it off in order to be not to be noticed by others. Right. So, for little children, they don't have pride or insult. They won't have any effect on them. You shout at them, they will turn their head and will walk away. But they'll forget it straight away. It has not gone inside. Whereas if you offend somebody, grown up, it will stay for generations. This is the difference between a child and a grown up. Child will take it like that. He won't be affected by that. He will hear it and then he will go after that, right? So, manam apamanam. Honor and what do you call insult is not there in them. Honor and insult, they'll forget it straight away, right? And this is what Sattva Samshuddhi means. So Sattva Samshuddhi, if you want to see, you look at a small child, you will see in him, because modes of nature has not got in yet. That's the reason for that. Little children, if you observe them, There are a lot of things to learn from them as well in spiritual life. That is why Dattatreya Maharshi said this, that Arbhaga, I want to be like him, isn't it? So, naturally, they are born perfect and pure, and this child has not done any sadhana, remember. He's only a small child. He has not done any sadhana, right? So they are not pure because they have done sadhana. No. The reason is that at that age, the connection with the body is very little. Little children, little boys at that age, boys or girls, whoever it may be, small children at that age, sharira sambandham is not there. Like the way we have adults. Have we noticed sometimes there is a lot of video clips like this. You can observe that. It's very interesting. Doctor wants to give an injection to a little child, right? So they keep busy. The child is kept busy with something else. And he's looking at it and enjoying it. And he puts the injection at that time to the children. And children doesn't protest because he was not conscious of the body. This is the beauty of the childhood. You are not conscious of the body like the way we are conscious of the body now. By 70, 80, you are fully inside the body. You can't get out of this body, right? So that is the thing he's saying here, that able to stay away from the body, right? It is not the, and you look at these children, they look beautiful at that age, right? That is the reason why they are beautiful. Because they are no connection with the body, they look beautiful, right? When you are able to remain aloof from the body, that is what is causing that beauty in the children. Small children, everybody likes to look at. You can look at all the time you see children. Very often you see this, how they move around, how they do things. When you look at them, they don't seem to have any worries in their life. So free. And so, one child comes to the manor, you notice him at 4 o'clock, you see. He comes, his father puts one mridanga on his neck and he moves around, wants to play the mridanga. You see, look at that child, his innocence inside. How simple and how that beauty of that childhood. Yeah, you observe that straight away. So, then, the simplicity, that simple heart inside, it is that beauty. Even though he has got a body, he has not entered into the body. This ahangaram, he has not entered into. Ahangaram is the symptom of a person who has entered into the body. You see, we come here with the body, no doubt about it. But when do you enter into the body and start operating the body? At a later stage. That takes time. So in the childhood, the situation is like, that is why you see the difference between the young children, small children, and the grown-up. In the small children, they have not entered into the body yet. And therefore, when they see things through the eyes, or when they hear things through the ears, they have not started developing saying, I. That I, we start talking little later. In the early days, children don't talk like that. I did this, I did that. You won't speak like that. Only when they grow a little bit bigger, 7, 8 years old, by then, slowly this gets in. Right? So, at that early stages, the senses are not operating with the ahangaram, nor the hormones or anything is working like that. All these things happen only when ahangaram gets into all the cells in the body. Ahangaram. When ahangaram gets into the body, that is when all these things happen. With that, the beauty has gone. That beauty what you experienced before has gone. So, and then children who were very beautiful looking, good looking, when they were small, then you see them by about, say, 15, 20 and all, by the time the mustache comes and other things, whole nature changes, completely changes in them, the nature, right? And the happiness you felt when they were very small children, you're not feeling that anymore towards them. Then you start looking at them, looking like a buffalo, moving around you. You start thinking like that. You know, the movements have changed, the nature has changed, the feelings also changes along with that. The attachment, the attraction you felt when they were small four years, 5 years old, that attraction, the beauty has gone. That is when the ahangaram has gone inside. Ahangaram starts working. Once the ahangaram starts working, the beauty has gone, right? So, you can look, and this is not only in the human society. You look at even with the dogs, monkeys, cats, everything. When they are small, they look beautiful. Even the baby monkey or a baby little dog, puppy, or even the cats, all of them. Why? Because when creation happens, when they are created, right, Ishvara creates them, they are perfect. Without bodily identity, it has been created. Bodily identity is a later thing that has come to us, right? So he makes he makes babies, but we, with our effort, they become old. Krishna makes the babies, but we, with our effort, we make them old, right? Then what can Krishna do about that, right? So basically, when Krishna creates us, it is created perfectly, without any bodily identity, right? We, with our education and all the society, everything with the knowledge, gradually we bring him into our world of ahangaram, right? Effort, make. So, this is the reason. You keep doing sadhana in your whole life, right? You're not getting purified. We know that, don't we? So many years you are chanting, and if somebody asks you, how much are you purified now? What will you answer? You will say, there's not much difference. 50 years I've been chanting Hare Krishna, how much have you been purified? I don't know how far it has happened, but doesn't seem to happen much. You get that feeling in that way, right? So, just like people think, if I do a lot of exercise, I will be very healthy, right? But you look at this way, if you keep doing exercise, year after year, your health should improve, isn't it? But it's not happening though. Year after year, your health is getting worse anyway, even if you have done the exercise, right? Similarly, one person, he was running, he was jogging all the time, right? Somewhere he read something that jogging is good. So this man started running. Every day he will run, do a lot of running, right? And he became 70 years old and he was still running. So he started at 30 and he kept that habit with him, jogging whole life, and he was running at 70 also, right? So somebody asked him that, why are you running now? He says, so that the diabetes I have, it will come down a little bit, right? And I have started this when beginning they were telling me that I'm going to get diabetes. So I was running. And now I'm not able to stop it, he says. I'm not able to stop running, right? And you go and ask him that, has the sugar level come down? He says, no, it hasn't come down, but I'm still running, he said. So what it means is, he had the prarabdham to run. That's what it is. That's all you can say about it. He had the prarabdham to run, right? And he ran. So with our effort, what happens is, life is going on like this, right? And Krishna created us in a good situation, perfectly, right? And what have we done to it? We added on this thing called ahangaram to it. And it is where that ahangaram gradually built it up, and it started expanding further and further, and it entered into all parts of our body, gross body, subtle body, mind, and every cell, senses. With that, our beauty has gone. The beautiful form we came out from the mother has gone with that. So ahangaram means, in different ways we call it, ahangaram is ajnanam. Ajnanam is avidya. They are all different names. It's one and the same thing, right? So what is sadhana means then? What is sadhana? Sadhana means that you have to get back all this ahangaram, what you have created in your gross body and in the subtle body, pulling it back from the entire system and dissolving in the Antaryami, from where it came from. This is how to understand this body. Ahangaram came from Antaryami. Actually it came from Prakriti. But the power for the Ahangaram to work is coming from Antaryami. Without Antaryami, nothing will work. In everything you require Antaryami's presence. Antaryami's presence. Ahangaram comes from Prakriti, as Krishna said in the 7th chapter. Bhinna Prakriti Ashtada. Ashtada Prakriti it is. But that Ahangaram in us got its power to work from the Antaryami. And when that Ahangaram has spread all over the body, then it becomes very... Then pulling back that Ahangaram from all parts of the body back into its source, where it dissolves in the Antaryami, and that is what is called sadhana. Sadhana is that. Actually, sadhana is that. The idea, these things what we do, like chanting the holy name, deity worship and all that, is to get this Ahangaram back from inside, right? So, and Vedam says that you have to offer it into the fire of Antaryami. Homa means of offering something in sacrifice to the sacrifice in the fire, right? So Shruti says that, and so Vedam, Upanishad says that, knowing Atma, finally you transcend everything and become like a little child. Become like a little child. So childhood means, doesn't mean that, children are busy with playing all the time. That is not what is expected. Says Bala, the word used is Bala. Bala means that taking shelter of the knowledge and able to remain like that. Balyam. That's what that word comes from. Balyam. Balyam, right? So, we'll have a break now.
Cheto darpanamarjanam vamaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pratipada purnamrada swadanam sarvapna subanam varam vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam nanamagari bahudanija sarva shakti tatrarpida nimida smaranena kala Edadrishi Tavakriva Bhagavan Mamavi Durdeva Midrishami Hajani Nanuraga Tranara Bishuni Chena Tarora Vi Sahishuna Amanina Manadena Kirtani Sada Hari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidamva Jagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadal Bhakti Rahai Dugitoi Ai Nandanuja Kingaram Padidamam Shame Bhavambudo Krupaya tava pada pankajastita duli sadrasham chindaya Nayanam galada shudharaya vadanam gadgadaruddhaya giram Bulagir nijidam kadavapo kavannam abrahane bhavishyati Yuga idam nimeshena chakshusha pravisha idam shunya idam jagal sarvam Govinda varahe name Ashlishyava padaradam pinashtumam Darshanam marmahadam karotuvam Yatha tadava radulambado malpranatha sunaye manapara sarvatra govinda nama sankirtanam govinda govinda abhaya sattva samshuddhir jnana yoga vyavasthiti danam damascha yajnascha swadhyaya stava arjavam abhayam sattva samshuddhi jnana yoga vyavasthiti. Three things very important. If these three things, if we have understood properly, you can say that you understand what spiritual life is. Abhayam, Sattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti, the first three, right? So, we talked about these children, how they are before Ahangaram enters into their head. Ahangaram comes later in life. When they are born, they are not, Ahangaram is not operating. Ahangaram comes at a later stage in life and then they change. Everybody is the same thing, right? So, why are they so happy, the children at that age? Why are they so happy? Because that happiness what they are displaying is coming from the Antaryami. A child at that age, whatever happiness they are displaying in the world is not like the way we are experiencing. Our happiness is all coming from sense gratification. When senses are gratified, we will be happy. When senses are not gratified, we will be miserable. This is the adult's happiness. The children at that age, such an early age, when you see that happiness in them, you have to understand it this way, that it is not simply coming from sense gratification, because senses even have not started working properly. But the happiness, when you see that, there is another source, that is Antaryami, where it's coming from, right? In the same way, after realizing the truth that Antaryami is the source of everything, and if we don't become independent like the children, it's not that all, if that has not happened, then all this knowledge what you are hearing from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, is not going to be of any use. The idea is that how to become like the child, like that Dattatreya Maharshi said that, isn't it? Arbhaga. Kurara Arbhaga, he said, Arbhaga. I want to be like him, he said. Why did he say that? Because he understands that at that age, what happiness he is feeling is coming from Antaryami, not from the sense gratification. Once you grow up, Ahangaram comes in, sense gratification starts, and that becomes the norm then. Other things have changed. This all changes happening inside us, without our knowledge. When we were children at that age, 3, 4, 5 years old, that happiness in their face, when you look at it, it's not coming from Ahangaram. It's coming from Antaryami. But once the Ahangaram takes over, and Ahangaram starts controlling the person, everything, why then senses also start working, sense gratification begins, the whole scenario changes completely, right? So if we do not get that child's consciousness back to us when the adult life, whereas everything you have learned, heard everything, you know what it will be like? It will be like, in the films, sometimes people act certain roles, isn't it? Somebody acts like Bhishma, or someone else acts like Uddhava. We will be like that. Film role it will be. We won't be genuine. We will be doing a film role like this. We know the thing, but we are still as we are, right? So, so if it is like that, that means it is a problem. It is a problem, right? Who says this? Vedam says so. Upanishad says so, right? That means, Upanishad says, one who has realized the truth, he is like a child. That's how Upanishads put it. Once you have known the truth, he will be like a child, right? And you cannot tie him down to anything, because nirangushasthiri, that's what they call it. Nirangusham, that's the word they used. Nirangusham means, Angusham means, you know that what they call God, isn't it, to control the elephant. That's called God, isn't it? That God. Without the God, what it will be like, right? So, for elephant, when they control the elephant with that God, when it puts it on the ear and they pull it, it feels painful for them. They listen straight away, right? And so, here, without a God, how an elephant is free in the same way. So that swadandrim or independence, what they are feeling, is the symptom of knowledge, symptom of realization. Then that is what is called sattva-samshuddhi. Sattva-samshuddhi means that you are not pulled by anymore by the forces of nature. Sattva-gunam is so strong inside, and outside forces cannot affect you anymore. You have become free from that, right? So, and that is the symptom of that jnanam inside, right? That means his heart is pure, and that purity is this coming out in the form of his pleasing nature, prasannata, they call it. So, Buddha, what he did was, he did a lot of sadhana, right? And he went to many people before he took to meditation, right? And you will see this, that if you look into Buddha's story, right? He went to many, many great yogis, and then he did a lot of pranayama and all that. Yogasanas, he has performed that, yogacharyas. He did a lot of fasting as well, starved a lot himself. did all kinds of things Buddha did before he became Buddha. He also had to go through a lot of things, right? Ultimately, what he did was that he said that even if I don't get food, I am ready to die, saying that he sat in one place. He sat in one place. But still nothing happened, right? So, Siddhartha, that was his name then, he felt inside that by Krishna's mercy, that while he was a little child, that he had remembered a time when he sat underneath the tree, when he was a small child, 7-8 years old, he sat underneath the tree. And he thought about that state, what he experienced then. Not much of a thought waves came to him. This is when he is grown up, he is thinking this. He wasn't sleeping, and then a prasannam, pleasing situation, right? He remembered all that, and after that he had been doing all kinds of sadhana, going to different yogis, practicing different ashtanga yogam process, pranayamam and everything, different kinds of sadhana. In spiritual life it's always like that. You try out different things. At that moment what you think is helping, is it not? You will do different sorts of things. So that's what Buddha also did. So, and different kinds of rules and regulations he followed, and everything failed. He was not getting any satisfaction from that. But he remembered this, that as a child what he experienced at an early life. And then he realized that I have to be like that child. And that is when he goes and sit underneath the tree later on, under the Bodhi tree in Gaya. Goes and sits there, right? So this thing that trying out different things and failing that, and that way coming out of it, it's called Chikirshanavrti. Chikirshanavrti means that from the mind so many different ideas comes. In spiritual life it is like that. You'll try out this sometimes, try something else sometime. Then you say it's not working. Then you try something else, that's not working. So in this way, right? So that means I have to do something this sometime and something else later on. So this is called a chigirsha. In the yoga, in the jnana yogam, they will say these things much more in detail. They call it as different stages what you have to overcome. What all you have to get out from. Prayapsa nivarti, chigirsha nivarti. This is all nivarti, they call it. Getting out of that, right? So, when that stops, right? Manaprasadam. Manaprasadam, mind becomes more steady and peaceful, right? Shanti comes. Atmasurupam. Prasannada. These things are a product of that. When different desires leaves us from inside, or different thoughts that has come and causing disturbances inside, it is very difficult to write off everything, because you are doing all these things in darkness, isn't it? You are shooting in the dark, basically. Sometimes people think, oh, I have to perform a lot of austerities. And then they take Ekadashi very seriously and follow it through. Total fasting, 24 hours, not sleeping and all that. Very rigidly they follow. After doing that for a while, they are not able to sustain that. They leave that also. And then they will take to chanting. Sometimes they get into a mood, I should chant every day 64 rounds, fully fixed up. They'll do it for a few days, few weeks sometimes, and then they lose the power to continue with that. Yeah. And similarly, deity worship in the same way. Regularly I'll attend Mangalarti, I'll do all the morning program and things like that. You get fixated with something like that, and then after some time it fizzles out. It goes away from them, right? So, but the thing is, when you are focused on all these external things, the subtle side of things is never taken notice of. What is going on inside us, right? these things, jnana yoga, sattva samshuddhi, jnana yoga vyavasthiti, these are subtle things. That is the problem. We are not taking account of all that. We are busy with doing and getting results from that. So that disease, we have to come out of that first, to become more subtle nature, to think about inside what is happening in me. That art we have never learned. We have only learned the art of how to control the body and put a lot of tapas on the body. That stage is in the early days. At a later date, if you do all this tapas, it won't help very much. At a certain stage in life, you have to have reached that stage of subtleness inside. Able to look inside and see where correction is required. As far as gross body is concerned, it's getting old. There's nothing much you can do about it. Whatever problems it's going to give you, that you have to accept it as prarabdham and leave it at that. And similarly, the mind is concerned, it requires a lot of adjustment, wherever it is required, right? So, able to remain like that, that shanti, how to bring that inside, and peace, right? So, one day it so happened, in the Ramanashramam, this story happened there. They have regular recitation of Vedam there. Boys from the Gurukulam, they come and sit there, and they recite the Vedam. So this happened when Maharshi was there. A group of children were there who were studying Vedam there, and they were reciting the Vedam in front of him, right? And Maharshi was sitting and listening to him, listening to what they were reciting. A monkey came there. So there were some fruits kept in a plate, which was an offer to the deity there, to Shiva. And it was kept there. Monkey comes, as usual he is. He looks at everybody, how they will react. They suss it out. So they will look at everyone before they take the fruit. They want the fruit. They are not interested in the Vedam or anything. They just want the fruit, right? So, so he comes and sits there. And so what he does is, Maharshi was the only grown-up person in there. Others were all children. So he puts his hand on the fruit and looks at monkey's face, how he is going to react to it. So he's looking at the Maharshi to see how he's going to react to this, right? So Maharshi also didn't say anything. He kept looking at the monkey. He was enjoying that, the way the monkey was doing that, right? So, what he was going to say to us is this, that the not to the monkey is asking this question, right? What are you going to get in this world? What are you looking for? This is the question he's asking. So he's looking at the monkey and asking this question, what are you looking for? Monkey is not developed, isn't it? Its intelligence is not developed. It just wants something to eat, and he saw the fruits. And if there is nobody going to stop him, he is more than happy to take one and run away from there. That's how they are, right? So Maharshi is saying to us this one question, right? That what are you trying to achieve in life? Except the shanti inside. What are you working for, struggling for so hard in this world, right? In other words, anything what you feel, leaving your identity as Antaryami, that Swarupasthiti, if you want to forget that and inquire after thousands of things in this world, right? I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to know this, I have to know that. Similarly, I have to achieve this, I have to achieve that. This is all called Brahmam. Brahmam, right? And so basically, Vedantam is saying this to us. You are already perfect inside. Because Antaryami is your identity. Antaryami is perfect. And when you know that you are perfect, why this situation has happened? When you know that you are perfect inside, why are we behaving like this? So therefore, Kenobanishad says this, Iham na cheda vedi aha satyam asti. In other words, Mahadi Vinashti. If you don't make it here in this life, you have got a great loss. Why? Because actually you are perfect inside. Antaryami is your identity. Antaryami is perfect. But instead of getting that realization back, if you have wasted time in this world to attain many, many things, to achieve many things, to acquire many things, that means you are a failure. Ultimately, you are a failure. Because this was the golden opportunity to realize your spiritual identity and get you back. We have lost ourselves now. Like nowadays they say, we want our country back, they say. Similarly, we are saying, we want ourselves back. We have lost ourselves. That's where we are now. So we want to get back that, what we are actually, right? So this is, if it is realized, then the business is over then. So that's all it is, right? So this is known, of course, this happens in a matured disciple and a perfect guru. When they meet, it happens. A perfect guru and a mature disciple. When they come together, immediately this happens. This has to happen, right? And it's not happening due to sadhana, but or doing Lord to years and sadhana, the kundalini has gone up and all that, right? So therefore, chitta shuddhi. Because that disciple has got chitta shuddhi in him, and later on Krishna will say this, Devi Sambad Vimokshaya, in another verse, later on he will say that. So, Abhayam, Satta Samshuddhi and Chitta Shuddhi. What is the symptom of Chitta Shuddhi? Chitta Shuddhi means that, Chitta Shuddhi is, how will you know somebody has Chitta Shuddhi? The best way to know is to see how much faith he has in Shastram as well as in the instructions of the Acharyas. That is the proof of Chitta Shuddhi. If he has sufficient faith in the Shastram and in the words of the great Acharyas, including the spiritual master, if his Shraddha is in that, that means his Chitta Shuddhi is there. That is the proof of that. That's how you understand Chitta Shuddhi. Chitta Shuddhi's proof is your faith, how strong that faith is. Shraddha, faith, Shraddha. How much Shraddha you have in the words of the Shastram first the words of the Shastram, and then in the words of the other great Acharyas who have spoken about it, right? So, Chitta Prasannada. That means he has got taste for Jnanam, taste for knowledge, right? So Sattvagunam, when Sattvagunam comes in a person, then the next step is this. When Sattvagunam comes in a person, Sattva Samshuddhi comes in a person, then the next thing is this, that he will have the Chitta Shuddhi in him. And at that time, when you speak to him about knowledge of the self, it will work. It will go in, right? So that is how they say. The symptom of a person who has got Chitta Shuddhi is this, that if you tell him Brahma Vidya, it will go in. Brahma Vidya will go inside, right? So that means he has become purified inside. And Shastra Nirupanam, in other words, there is no point in thinking that Chittam is Shuddham. Thinking like that is not good enough. So if somebody says, oh, he is very pure, people say sometimes like that about somebody else, oh, he is very pure, they say. How do you know? Where is the proof? Is that the proof? Because I said he is very pure. That is not how you look at it. The symptom of a person who has Chitta Shuddhi is this. His faith in the Shastram will be so strong. And more than that, he will also be very surrendered to the instructions of the great personalities. All that requires time to come to understand these things, right? So, they say that when Chitta Shuddhi is like this, that if you look in your mirror, and the mirror is very clean, how you see your face in that? In the same way, in that person, the knowledge of the self will start manifesting like that, right? Therefore, Satva Samshuddhi, Krishna has spoken. So, Abhayam, Satva Samshuddhi, right? So it is a big thing, this Satva Samshuddhi. It requires a sadhana, and similarly chanting the holy name, meditation and bhakti, all these things. So bhakti is for this purpose, chitta shuddhi. Bhakti is for the purpose of chitta shuddhi. You will see this in the 11th canto, in the Pipalayana Maharshi talked about that. That Pipalayana Maharshi is five, six verses. Very, very important. From verse 35 onwards, he says. In the 35, 36, 5 verses, 3 plus 3, 6 verses. Very important verses, Pipalayana Maharshi, right? Yeah. You look at the 40th verse. Yarhyabjanava charanayishana yoru bhaktya cheto malani vidamel guna karma jani tasmin vishuddham ubalabhyadam almatatvam sakshal dhyadhan amaladrusho savidra prakasha. That's what it is. This is Sattva Samshuddhi. Sattva Samshuddhi is what he is talking about. Yeah. Yarhyabjanava charanayishana yoru bhaktya cheto malani vidamel guna karma jani tasmin vishuddham upalabhyadam almatatvam sakshal yatha amaladrusho savidra prakasha. What happens is, when bhakti increases in a person, right, the impact of the three modes of nature, and due to the impurities that has come from the three modes of nature into the mind, completely gets destroyed, and in that situation, in his heart, it is just like when you had cataract in the eye, and after the operation, when the cataract is removed, you start recognizing sunlight very clearly, and everything is seen very clearly. In the same way, he will realize the presence of Antaryami inside at that stage. That's what will happen. That's what it's saying there. That just like after cataract, you get the clear vision and you are able to see things very clearly. Before that, everything looks very dim, isn't it? When you have the cataract. Those who had a cataract operation, they'll know. So after the cataract operation, after a few days, when you start looking, you get much more clearer vision of everything. In the same way, when Chitta Shuddhi is there, when this message is given, it has such a clarity gets to him, right? So that is how Bhagavatam mentions that. So bhakti is for this. Bhakti is for this purpose, right? So that means the problem that happens in us due to sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, all these three things, the effect of that, and when that is all wiped out by bhakti, and when chitta shuddhi comes, what will happen is the Antaryami's presence, Almatattvam, Savidra Prakasha, he says, it will come out of automatically. When everything is cleared up inside, the Antaryami's presence will be felt by him straight away, right? And just like you see the sun with the eyes, when it is after the cataract operation, right? So, that means, he will realize Antaryami aparoksham, not paroksham anymore. Aparoksham. Aparoksha anubhuti will come to him. Aparoksham means it's not anymore explained through words and understood the mind and intelligence. Direct experience itself. That's aparoksham. Aparoksham, he will get to know that. Therefore, sattva samshuddhi is the very important factor, and bhakti is for that purpose. Sattva samshuddhi, right? Samyak shuddhi, that is sattva samshuddhi. Then if sattva samshuddhi has come, then jnana yoga vivastiti. It will be followed by jnana yoga vivastiti. Krishna says here that if jnana yoga vivastiti, if one doesn't have it, jnana yoga vivastiti, it means that he does not have devi sambhata. You see, divinity is not there in him. We are not sometimes familiar with this Devi Sambhati, is it not? We are used to reading Harvard School of Divinity. So what that divinity means? Divinity means that this Devi Sambhata. Devi Sambhata. So Devi Sambhata, by putting a board like School of Divinity, it won't come. Devi Sambhata has to come from inside. Antaryami has to give it to you. Remember yesterday what we were saying? All divine qualities comes from Antaryami. All demonic qualities comes from Ahankaram. This is how we are created. We are built like this. We are built like this. All divine qualities in us, whatever there is, it's coming from Antaryami. All the demonic qualities are coming from the Ahankaram. From the Ahankaram. So, Devi Sambhata, its presence is that one who does not have Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti, he does not have Devi Sambhata, and so in order to develop that Sambhata, right, the process spoken in the Bhagavatam also, in the beginning, right, Jnana Nishtha, what is that? When Bhagavatam began, right? Atma Jnanam. So Suda Goswami and Shaunaka Rishi were talking about it, right? So, this inquisitiveness to realize the truth, Jitnyasa, that he said, Dharmasya Abhavargasya. Arthortayoba kalpade. Arthasya dharmai kandasya kamo labhai smrida. Kamasi indriya preedi. Labho jivede yavata. Jivasya tattu jitnyasa narthoyas cheha karmavi. Famous verses in the second chapter. Right? So, what did Shaunaka Rishi say? Suda says to Shaunaka Rishi. Suda Goswami says to Shaunaka Rishi. That these three things, dharmam, artham, kamam. Right? The end result of that is, if they are in the right place, if you are in the right place, if these three, dharmam, artham, kamam, in that person, it will come to him, which one? Tattva jijnyasa, will come to him. So, if we are not feeling any desire for tattva jijnyasa, the reason is, our dharmam, artham, kamam is not in the proper place. Everything is very organized. I mean, rishis have analyzed everything and they have given us the conclusions also. And that's why, when Bhagavatam began, Tattva Jitnyasa is an important thing in spiritual path, isn't it? The desire to realize the truth. That's a very important thing, Tattva Jitnyasa. Jivasya Tattva Jitnyasa, he says. Narthoyas Cheha Karmavi. So there itself, he said, that the result of these three, Dharmam Artham Kamam, if they are in the right place, Tattva Jitnyasa must be there in that person, right? That means enthusiasm for self-realization. That is Tattva Jitnyasa, is another way of saying that. The enthusiasm for self-realization. And that is called Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti. Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti is that. That serious desire to realize the truth, right? Who am I, that thing, my Swarupam, right? So, if his chittam is shuddham, chitta shuddhi has happened to him, that person, no matter in where in the world he is, which part of the world he is, this tattva jijnyasa will come to him. No matter where he is in this world, which part of the world he is, if his dharmam artham kamam is in the right place, tattva jijnyasa must come to him. That's the rule, right? And I remember I mentioned this before also. Long ago, some people, the boat sank and they went and got stuck in an island, right? And there was nobody there. A group of people got stuck in an island. They didn't have Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Upanishads, nothing, right? But because they lived there, and when the Chitta Shuddhi happened to him through their lifestyle, they had a life like that, automatically it came up in them. And Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti has come to them. So, that is the rule, that it does not matter, Sattugunam built up in them, they got stuck in that island, they couldn't go anywhere, they lived there, and there was no all this modern complicated lifestyle. They had to just grow the food and eat, and rest of the time they had time to think about spiritual life, self-realization. Whereas we have no time, we are so busy. So that was the difference. So you can see somehow the other, the situation happened that way. And these people who are stuck in that island, they were able to do what is essential for their survival there. Grown-up people they were, so they did that and passed the rest of the time in thinking about the... So that means they were able to bring their dharmartha kama much more easily than others. We get complicated because we deal interaction too much in the society, therefore. So Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti is like that. They had the desire to know, and then there was someone among the group who had developed much more knowledge, and he was able to instruct others and things like that. And that whole story is there. So the thing is this, that dharmam artham kamam, if that is properly placed, then that person will have, the chitta-shuddhi will come and tattva-jnyasa must come to him. That's the rule, right? So, jnana-yoga-vyavasthiti, what is that? Able to, jnana-yoga-vyavasthiti basically means that andaryami is inside, right? And that andaryami, make it the able to analyze the andaryami through the mahavakyams in the Upanishads. Aham brahmasmi, prajnanam brahmam, all these things, right? So, what is happening then is that as soon as you close your eyes, this andaryami inside, that removes that covering inside. The covering, what you have inside, avaranam. And it is gradually reveals itself to you from inside. Andaryami's presence is felt by the jiva, right? So, andaryami is always trying to help us by removing the avaranam. But the avaranam means the covering. But the covering what we have created is so thick that andaryami is not able to express it itself through that, right? When that block goes away, that is called Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti. When that block goes away, that's called Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti, right? So, Alpajnanam, when one is ready for self-realization, this will happen. So, it comes at a much later stage in spiritual life. When one is ready for that, that means Chitta Shuddhi has happened to such a level, all it requires is a simple touch. He is ready for the knowledge, to receive the knowledge, right? So, that is a maturity of the disciple. Maturity of the disciple. He has reached that stage that he is ready to receive. Chitta Shuddhi has come to him to that extent, he is ready for the spiritual knowledge to happen. An example is given, this Totaga's story with Acharya Swamiji, that Totaga was one of the disciples out of the first four, and he was a little bit dull compared to others. Yeah. So one day Acharya Swamiji used to teach others Upanishads, sit putting together all the major disciples, sit and listen to Upanishads teachings, right? So when he was teaching Upanishads, what happened was Totaga has gone out to the river to bathe, and he has taken Acharya Swami's clothes also for washing. This has happened in the Tungabhadra River. This happened. So when he was washing the clothes, Acharya Swamiji was not aware of that. He wanted to start teaching the Upanishads. So he called all the disciples, came and sat there. And then he noticed that Totaka was not present. So he said to them, "Where is Totaka?" he said. So they said, "He has gone to bathe in the river. And he'll be back later. We can start the class," they said. And Acharya Swamiji didn't like it. He said, "Why do you think like that?" He did not like them saying in a mocking way about him. So he said, "Let him come." Because he had an affection for him, seeing his nature. Chitta Shuddhi had come to him, you see. Because Chitta Shuddhi had come to him, Acharya Swamiji didn't see him like the way others have seen. Others were saying that he is not intelligent enough, sharp enough to capture everything what he was saying. So then what happened was that they made this comment and Acharya Swamiji didn't like it. And when Acharya Swamiji thought about him in that way, Totaka, who was bathing in the river, suddenly felt within himself a flash of this realization of the self. Andaryami's presence inside, right? So realization happened to him. Sarvajnatvam happened to him. So he got that state called Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti, came to him, and for a short period of time, he just sat there with that realization suddenly coming from inside, and then he came back, and when he came back, he offered the obeisances to Acharya Swamiji, and then he sang this famous song, Totakashtakam. You can listen to it, it's beautiful. The meter and the words and the language, everything. Totakashtakam, you can download that from the YouTube. It is there. Famous musicians have sung that, M.S. Subbalakshmi and many others like that, right? So Acharya Swamiji told her that this is the effect of Chitta Shuddhi. He told others about him, Chitta Shuddhi, right? So Devi Sambat, its power, that is this Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti, right? There are others, lot of stories like this about different devotees of how they attain that state. Without our knowledge, how they reach that state, right? For example, in the Ekanath Swami, his famous commentary on Ekadasha Skandam, he didn't write whole Bhagavatam commentary. He wrote only for the 11th canto, Ekadasha Skandam, because he was very fond of that. So he wrote his famous commentary on that, but it is in the Marathi language, I understand, right? So, and very expanded commentary on that he wrote, right? And he also had many disciples. Ekanath Swami had many disciples, right? One day, an old person came there and he brought with him a young child with him. A young boy brought with him, right? So, and most of the people in the village knew this boy who was brought inside, right? And because this boy was involved in cooking different things. So all the people knew about him, that he knew how to do cooking, right? So he was making a particular dish called boli, I think. Boli, that's what they call it, right? And so they started calling this boy as boli because he was good at making it. You know how in village, how you get a name like that, right? So old man said that this boy has no livelihood, proper way to make any livelihood. You should look after him. And what you need, he will cook for you, this boli, they will make it for you. But he had a lot of bhakti towards Guru. And when he saw Ekanath Swami, he felt a sudden attraction for Ekanath Swami, right? And he did everything in Ekanath Swami and disciples also. So in the kitchen he was doing all the seva for everybody. And everyone liked him there, because of the Chitta Shuddhi inside, yeah? And Ekanath Swami was also very fond of him, right? So, what happened was, he was also getting involved in all the satsangam there with Ekanath Swami. And at that time, Ekanath Swami had his samadhi, he left this world. And this child, after hearing all these things for many years, he decided to write a commentary, what is called as Bhavartha Ramayana. Like Sridharajaya Swamiji's book, Bhavartha Deepika, he wrote for Bhagavadam, he wrote a book called Bhavartha Ramayanam. For Ramayanam he wrote a commentary in that way, right? But halfway when he wrote that, it stopped. He couldn't continue with that, right? But other devotees who have read what he has written till then, they wanted to be completed, the book, somehow, right? So, Ekanath Swami had a son, Hari. He was also a great scholar, and he told, that time he told him that if you could complete this book, what Boli has written halfway. So he tried, he couldn't do it. Because Boli had developed that purity in the heart. The way he wrote Ramayanam was so good that the bhavam, you see bhavartham they said, bhavam inside, that's more matters, right? So, one day, while sleeping in the night, in the dream, Ekanath Swami appeared in front of him and told him that that you should complete it to Boli. He said this to him, right? So, then next day, Ekanath's son, Hari, also called other disciples there and told them that in the dream, Ekanath has also told me like this, that it should be completed, right? Bhavartha Ramayanam. And then Bhavartha Ramayanam was completed. Varsaraman was completed, right? So, what is the point to understand here is, if Chitta Shuddhi happens in a person, right? If Chitta Shuddhi happens in a person, the situation will happen in such a way in life that you will become a channel for the Antaryami to come out through that, right? So, what is Chitta Shuddhi means? Where there is no pride. Ahangaram is not there. That is Chitta Shuddhi, right? So, if you observe things like that, that when Ahangaram completely leaves us, totally leaves us, we become a channel for Antaryami to operate then. That's the proof of that. We become a channel for the Antaryami to operate itself on its own. You are not a block anymore. Whereas if we have Ahangaram inside, Antaryami cannot operate. Antaryami will keep away from the... That is the problem. So basically, Chitta Shuddhi means Ahangaram completely leaving us. Totally. It has to leave us. Right? So... yeah. So this way, in many, many great personalities, if you look into their life story, you will find that at certain stage, the Chitta Shuddhi had happened to them. And when they become qualified to know the presence of Antaryami and started dealing with Antaryami direct after that. Yeah. So, so then Krishna talks about Abhayam, Sattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti. Then he talks about Dhanam Dhamascha Yajnascha Swadhyaya Stava Arjavam, he said, right? So, like Maharshi's case, when he heard about Arunachalam, straight away from Madhura, he wanted to come to Arunachalam due to, again, Chitta Shuddhi. Inside, Antaryami told him, go. And nothing stopped him from going there at that time, right? So, we called, he didn't have much of a sadhana, remember that. He was a young boy, 16, 17 year old, and didn't have any sadhana, but Chitta Shuddhi was there. So, of course, this happens in different people in different ways, right? He didn't have any sadhana, nor he has studied any shastram either. Remember that situation in a person. He hasn't studied any shastram, and he has not done any sadhana. But Chitta Shuddhi happened to him. And with the result was that he had that something from inside is pushing him to go. And that Vairagyam comes to him to leave home and walk away from there, right? So then we call it, for an ordinary person, we have to say like this, Shamam, Dhamam, Tidiksha, Upadati, Shraddha, Samadhanam. For an average person, you say like that. But then, when you look at people like this, who are not normal people, they are exceptions like this. Maharshi, Ekanath Swami's disciple and things like that. When you observe them, you notice that they are different. Because in previous lives, they have done enough for Chitta Shuddhi. So when they come in this life, they come with a lot of Chitta Shuddhi. Whereas we also come with a lot of vasanas from previous lifetimes. And we're finding that difficult now. So that's why we act differently than them. And they act differently from us because of this problem, right? So, ordinary people, they have to do a lot of sadhana. And then sometimes you will see some people, it's interesting sometimes to observe this, right? They have heard Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita for many years, 25 years. And they were asking questions 15, 20 years, and they will still ask the same question. After 25 years also, they will ask the same question, right? Same doubt, right? So, every year the same doubt comes to them. Every year, the same doubt keep coming again and again, right? And people will get answer for that, right? Somebody, the spiritual master or anyone, whoever they are asking the question, they will answer that also, right? So, they are like a machine who is asking the question all the time, repeatedly, again and again. So, the problem is that he's asking the question, but he doesn't want any answer or anything. He's just asking the question, right? So, whereas a child, in one moment, this you have to observe in people, only then you will know the differences, right? A child in a very short moment, he is able to establish in the Brahman, Brahmanishtha, and able to get Jivanmukta stage. And that Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti happens to a child like this. Whereas an older person who has been hearing throughout life Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, every year he keeps asking the same questions. And you also know that what question he's going to ask. And you also keep answering the same question, the same thing you keep repeating every year. What does that mean? It means that the answer is not doing anything. That is because of this Sattva Samshuddhi problem. Sattva Samshuddhi problem, right? So these three things, Abhayam, Sattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti, these three are the important ones out of that list there. How many? 26 qualities, isn't it, of the devotee? So out of the top three are those ones, right? So in strict terms, these three, if you have it, then you can say that you have divine nature, if you have got these three, right? These three are very important. And one level, if you look at it, all the three are one and the same thing, right? Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti is Sattva Samshuddhi, and that is Abhayam. But it is explained in three different ways to get more clarity, that is all, right? So, as we mentioned before, when you know a second thing exists, then there is Bhayam. Fear is there. Bhayam jidiyal abhinivesha. Bhagavadam said that, right? So, if you have that, there will be some thought waves inside. Emotions will come, right? And once you accept that, some kind of emotion will come inside us, right? In the sense that good or bad, gunam dosham, and similarly, bhakti or envy, or bhakti or love or asakti, some vigaram, some emotion will happen inside. What that means is shuddhi, chittasam shuddhi is not there, right? That means that is the most important part in that, yeah? Bhayam didiyal abhinivesha tasyal. It's a very powerful statement that is. Unless you dig deeply into that line, bhayam didiyal abhinivesha tasyal, what does that mean? As long as I am thinking a second thing exists in this world separately from me, you know what the problem is? Problem is this, that we are strongly under the grip of our senses, right? Senses have made us convinced that this world is real. And senses convinced us that all these different people exist in this world. Through senses we are perceiving them. Senses brings it back, mind processes it, and then we are accepting that. Is it not? That is jiva state. Bhayam didiyal abhinivesha tasyal means second thing doesn't exist. Nobody exists here. What exists here is only one thing, Antaryami, nothing else. Names and forms have no value. So till you become free from this problem of name and form, the second thing will exist. So you have to become free from the impact of name and form. Once you become free from name and form, namam rubam, then only it is possible to accept that statement, bhayam didiyal abhinivesha tasyal, he said like that, right? So, and so when the, and once you accept something else exists, then there will be ragadvesham, will come. And similarly, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti is not possible. Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti means to see that there is only one thing that exists, right? So, Sattva Samshuddhi, If Sattva Samshuddhi is there, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti will be there. And Renda, second thing exists means Nirmalam, if you come to that realization. So, that is why they say in Vaidika Sampradayam, he said that as much as possible not to touch anybody. Patanjali says this, that if you are established in the Shujitvam, purity, you will get disgusted with your own body. What to talk about others' body? You'll get disgusted with your own body, right? And in that case, nothing is touching you then. Touching means that this effect of the body on you. When you are touched by the body, that means you're getting affinity towards the body, right? So that is an external thing. But Vedantam, when it is saying that not touching anybody means that there is nobody there to touch anymore. When nothing else exists separately from you. Samsargarehidam, right? And then Vedantam, that is why Vedantam is able to accept this, that existence of something else apart from you, you are able to get out of that. So, because nothing else exists apart from you. That is the position of the Vedanta. So, these verses, Kavi Maharshi's, that Bhayam Didiyala Vinivechatasyal, that has to be analyzed in detail to understand what he is saying. Where is this duality coming from in the world? Duality coming because of our senses and our recognition of the world in the frame of name and form. So till you become free from the impact of name and form and impact of the senses, you cannot have that state possible. So it is an advanced state, right? Then Krishna is going to talk about now the fourth one, Dhanam. That is the next one. So, Abhayam, Sattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti. If these three things, if you properly understand, then you can say that you understand what divine nature means. This will be in a person, these three things. Abhayam, Sattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti. The remaining things, now, after that, what is spoken? Dhanam, Dhamam, Yajnam, Swadhyayam, Tapas, Arjavam, Ahimsa, Satyam, they are all not as important as these three are. They are not as important as these. These three are the real symptoms of a divine person. Other things are secondary things. They are not as important as these three. Abhayam, Sattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti. So that is why we have to talk about them in a little bit more detail. But Dhanam, Dhamam, Yajnam, they are all these things are secondary things. They are not that important as these three. But these three, because it is a little difficult to understand fully what it is, what is Sattva Samshuddhi means, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti means, Abhayam means, that is why we have to talk about like that, right? So Dhanam, and that requires a little time. We will discuss that next Saturday. Saturday we are there. Sunday and Monday we are here. Monday is bank holiday, isn't it? Yeah. So Sunday and Monday we are here, right? Sunday and Monday. And what we can do is, if you want to go for a theatre, Sunday we don't have a break. We'll finish at 10:30. And then anybody wants to go for a theatre, they can go. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.